What country is this car from?
It no longer exists, but take her for a test drive, and you'll agree.
Hello, and welcome to Put It In H, a Die Hard Simpsons podcast. My name is Terry.
My name's Andy.
Andy, how the hell are you?
I'm very well, Terry. Very well, in fact. And how are you?
I too am well.
Good to hear it.
Just trying out something a little different there, you know.
I say one week we just come out the gate with something brand new.
Never. Never.
People would riot in the streets.
Yeah. Would damage the town to hear it. You know, I can change the tone and the cadence up a little bit.
Change,
you know,
the inflection. That's about it, really.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Yeah, we're not messing with a winning formula.
Maybe next week I'll throw some stank on it. How about that?
I feel like we haven't utilized that quote enough for our merchandising needs. Although it is on the packaging of the any t-shirts that you get. It's not actually on the product itself.
I'm going to be talking about some stank later on. So,
please do.
Yeah.
How have you been?
Okay. No, I asked you first.
I'll go first. I've been well, Terry. Now, I've been up to a couple of things. If I can just get them off my chest.
Sure.
First of all, I've been painting the house.
Oh, okay.
Not pictures. Painting the bedroom. Primo paint job.
Now, let me guess what color.
Go on.
Red.
No. That's not even... Well, okay, maybe it's kind of close. It's kind of a...
Spicing things up.
It's kind of like a sandy cream. I don't know the colours, but, you know. It's
the colour of your walls are?
Basically, yes. So it's like a... Go on.
Wasted on you.
I don't know. I didn't get the joke.
You threw that sandy cream over the plate.
I don't know what we're talking about. I don't get any of this.
Bedroom sandy cream. Come on.
Something to do with sex?
There you go. Okay. Try to keep up.
I get jokes.
Eyeball. Get it, son. Keep your eye on the ball.
What's that from?
That's Foghorn Leghorn, my friend.
Eyeball. Keep your eye on the ball.
Eye on the ball. Eyeball. Get it, boy.
I'll tell you one thing. It's been fucking long. The first coat yesterday, I was like, I was done after the first wall because one of them had wallpaper that I had to strip.
I told you about that wallpaper though, didn't I?
And Jesus Christ. So,
can I stop you? I am liking the... You seem to have gotten rid of your floorboards and your wallpaper, bar one wall there that I'm looking at. I like the stripped down aesthetic you're going for.
Thank you. Now, I've moved I have taken up the carpet in here because the dog was stinking it up. So, I have switched the laptop to this corner of the room, which I think is a nice change of pace, if you ask me. The only thing I don't like, to be honest, is that you can see this very questionable point in the wallpaper with the rocks.
Get rid of it, man. Get rid of it.
I will be, because he's ripped up the bottom half of it.
Oh, yeah, there it is, yeah.
So I will be. Now, listen, if I can get down to brass tacks, I've been watching stuff that I think would be of great interest to you specifically.
Yes, because I have been watching very little.
Great. Quick side note, was back in jiu-jitsu this week for a good old technique class. Hadn't been there in a while, and it was bloody brilliant. I don't know why. I was actually nervous. I was nervous. Oh, I did, of course. But I was actually nervous going in for some reason, even though like I've been there a million times. But it had been a while.
It's been a while.
But it was great. So yeah, that's just a quick side note because I do.
Here, can I give you a quick side note?
Go on. Okay. You son of a...
Look, I saw my window and I went for it. Yeah.
What is it? What have you got there?
Oh, it's a Whiplash Rollover Session IPA, one that I had rolled over from the weekend.
You are the living end.
Yeah. Oh, mercy.
Sure taking you a long time to pour that.
I had a balls of it, if I'm honest.
Why are you holding it like that?
Oh, these beers.
You're holding it like it's a wine glass, like you're holding the glass part of a wine glass, but there's no stem. What are you doing?
It's a tumbler.
Do you have to hold it like that in your hand? Like your hands, it's resting on the palm of your hand?
A cup and a pair of balls. I don't know why I'm so bawdy tonight. I don't know.
Bawdy, Terry.
Hey, I love that, Terry.
Right, so...
Hit me.
I watched a little movie called The Island. Hadn't seen it before.
Is this the one with Ewan McGregor and Scarlett Johansson?
Yep, Michael Bay directed.
Andy.
Clones.
Clones, Andy.
Yeah. You know what? I liked it.
It sucks, Andy. It's terrible.
All-star cast as well.
I'm trying to think. I can't remember. Who
Michael
plays
Clark
like the
Duncan
scientist?
Is in it. No, Sean Bean is in it.
Is he the scientist in it?
He's like the main head baddie, yeah. I guess. Steve Buscemi's in it, of course. Now, cards on the table. I fell asleep towards the end, but it was 2 hours 16.
For that, like...
I know. That's what I was thinking. I was thinking when I put it on, I was like, somewhere Terry will be annoyed that I'm giving this movie the 2 hours.
Giving that the 2:16 and the amount of pushback I get.
I tell you what,
else.
We actually commented about an hour in, like, this is brilliant. And the other agreed. Right up our street. Very high concept, Terry. You know, we
like
that sort
of
stuff.
Bad execution.
Badly executed.
High concept, terrible execution.
All I need is the concept, really. No, like, I mean, you know, you know what it is. It's not.
What do you make of Ewan McGregor, just while we're on the topic?
I didn't care for him in it, to be honest.
Yeah, he's not great in it. And he can be good.
He was too, like, fake smiley. He does that, like, all teeth smile that he does, you know, like.
But not in a good way, you know. Not in a way that, like, makes you creeped out or something like that, like, you know.
Yeah, he
was just... not that you're supposed to be creeped out by him.
Yeah, it seemed like whatever he was going for, he wasn't quite pulling it off. Scarlett Johansson, again, wasn't great in it.
I tell you what, I've got a lot of respect for her now, though.
From Black Widow?
Taking that mouse house to court.
Who?
Disney. She's suing their asses.
Mouse house to court. Oh, excellent. Why is she suing them?
Because her contract for Black Widow gave her points off the back end of any theatrical earnings.
Yeah.
And so because Disney created this new revenue stream with the Premier Access, they're not giving her any of that money. So she is basically losing... Apparently, she could lose upwards of 50 million.
Jesus.
Yeah, so...
Why would they do that?
Because they're greedy fucks, like... And, like, Disney...
Does Bob Iger know about this?
Yeah, Alan Horn, it goes right to the top.
Not Horn.
Perlmutter too, he's back.
Of course Perlmutter's behind all this.
He's been waiting in the shadows.
Perlmutter, I thought he retired. That's what we wanted you to think. Of course. That seems very stingy for someone who's been with you from pretty much the start.
Like, and she's done with Marvel now anyway, you know, so I mean, she's, you know, her character's arc has finished, if you remember Avengers Endgame. Yeah. So she's nothing to lose, really. But, like, they came out and said that it was a callous act on Scarlett's part because of the pandemic. And, like, and then they also said, and we paid her 20 million. And it's like, I guarantee you. And apparently, like, Feige is quite upset with the Disney bigwigs because he was like, didn't want it to come out publicly like this, and he was like telling them to look after her.
Yeah, Feige, like, can't be happy with this.
Well, it's a bad look, you know what I mean? But he was saying that, like, apparently he was like was trying to, like, broker something that, like, they gave her 25 million or something like that,
right?
Like, you know, that no budge, and then she's come out and sued them. But then, like, Disney are like, and she got paid 20, tried to turn, like, public opinion against her, like, she's greedy, you know, we paid her 20 million for her salary. Like,
snakes.
Yeah, fucking snakes.
Like, but does she have any recourse? Is that the right word?
It's,
like,
in her contract. Yeah, it's in her contract.
But so, like, could there be a loophole that they said theatrical?
I think the release strategy in the contract was that it was a theatrical release, and they've changed the release strategy.
So they've changed the contract, essentially.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Interesting. That's
so,
a bit of juicy
Emma
gossip.
Stone is thinking about suing them as well. They did the same thing with Cruella, and she was, like, points on the back end as well. So
that
it could,
stingy, like.
It could be an uprising, Andy.
A new Avengers.
They're really
serious this time. Interesting.
Yeah.
That's a juicy bit of gossip now. I like that, Terry.
Now, before I get into your next thing, I want to bring up some news that I read today. Speaking of millions.
Please do.
Our pals over from Colorado, Trey and Matt.
Oh, yeah.
Did you hear about the deal they signed with Paramount?
No.
Okay, are you ready? Are you sitting down?
I am. I'm excited.
900 million. So that the series runs until season 30, and they're gonna make 14 movies for Paramount Plus.
What?
They're like, Paramount Plus is the streaming service.
So, and does that include, so that South Park up to season 30?
Yes, yeah, and then they're making 14 direct to Paramount Plus movies.
Wow.
Yeah, I think there's two coming in the next 2 years, maybe.
I'm
900 million. Good for them, man. That's
I'm
fucking
so
class.
Happy for them.
Good for them.
Like. They're a rare sort of duo in showbiz, I guess. That, like, you know,
they did things their way.
Yes, constantly. All the time. Like, yeah,
not to their detriment, but to their pigheadedness almost.
Yeah,
at times, but like,
and there's not many of them left. Like,
no,
you know.
But it also just shows you how desperate streaming companies are for content.
Yeah.
14 South Park movies.
Now,
that's
is
crazy.
It 14 South Park movies or 14 movies?
14 South Park movies. Crazy.
Amazing. That's great.
They haven't had a movie since 99.
No way. Was it 99?
22 years ago?
Bigger, Longer, Uncut?
Yeah, it was the last movie. I guess if you're counting maybe like these, you know, pandemic specials or whatever, they're like an hour long, right?
Yeah, 40-ish minutes.
Yeah. So like, I'd imagine they'd kind of be in the same vein.
That's interesting.
As like an Imagination Land, you know, a 3-episode length or whatever like that. Like,
excellent. That's great news. I was only just talking to Kerry about it the other day. She was like, is South Park still popular? Because like, and I was like, I was like, you know what? I was like, we watch it. Terry watches it and Tony watches it, but I don't really
That's
know anyone else. Yeah. but I was like, I don't really know or speak to regularly anyone else who I know watches it.
Mm.
So I'm like, I'm sure obviously people still watch it. Well, now, I mean, they wouldn't be paying someone 900 million.
It's popular. I don't know. Like, see, it's on Comedy Central in the UK and Ireland.
Yeah.
So, again, if you have TV, you kind of have access to it.
Yeah.
But again, I don't really know. It's not like it was 10 years ago. I'd be like, just see the new South Park, or like, just see what they're doing lately.
Yeah.
They're doing Jesus's Lance Armstrong or whatever.
Yeah.
Again, I don't even know how recent that one was, but like.
Yeah, it's not the big.
It's not the same. The zeitgeist is different nowadays.
Yeah, that's
it. You know?
It's sort of creeping in a bit under the radar, but it's still obviously still
good.
Like, and that's the thing. It's been so consistently good for so long. Like, everyone has different, you know, opinions on when it dipped or peaked. But
they did dip for a while.
You kind of have to, though. Yeah. Like, you know, you can't maintain. I like at least that they've gone in a bit of a different direction. They're not trying to churn out the same thing. And
I like that they kind of went a bit serialized for a while.
Yeah.
And then they kind of split it halfway now, that it's elements of it are serialized, but also that it's just like, oh, we're just doing a one-off episode.
Yeah. On
you
this.
Know? Yeah.
It's
so
always,
like,
it's always funny though. I mean,
there's always something in there for you, you know? Anyway.
Well, that's great news. Yeah. I'm delighted about that. To be honest, I've only been watching one other thing. And I think you may have seen it now. As you know, we're both big fans of Inside, the Bo Burnham special. And he had the other one on Netflix. There's a few on Netflix. Make Happy. And I hadn't watched it, because I didn't want it to break the spell almost.
Yeah.
I didn't want to watch it and be disappointed and then like Inside less. Mm. But I watched it and I was absolutely blown away. I thought
okay,
it was
good.
Absolutely amazing. I've actually watched it twice since last week, and I hadn't seen it before then. I watched it again because I was so sort of blown away the first time.
I think I watched it once through, and then I kind of dipped back into the songs quite a bit, like on YouTube and stuff
what
like that.
What did you
think
of the last one, the Kanye one? Or the
really
one?
Good. Really because, fucking good.
like, yeah, like I didn't get that that was, you know, he was saying it then and there that he was he can't handle it and he's, yeah, you know, he's giving it up, what he thought was giving up forever or whatever like that. But I thought it was kind of like a private decision he had made to stop performing, like he said on Inside, but I didn't realize it was such a, like,
it's in the text, like, isn't it? Like,
yeah, and yeah. Oh, it was so good. Like, I keep listening to that song on repeat.
Watching it back, I did find that, like, because I watched it after Inside, and I was like, it's all the more impressive knowing that, like, apparently he was having panic attacks before he filmed this.
Right.
You know, like, literally before he was going on stage.
Right.
He was, like, having to, like, kind of calm himself and get into the zone.
It was so, like, it was very, like, powerful, you know, I didn't expect, I thought, oh, he's going to be younger.
It's less mature, I will say, than,
yeah,
like, the whole thing with the, like, I think I talked about it on our Inside episode with, like, the F-bomb. Slurs, like.
Yeah, I noticed.
I laughed, I thought it was funny, but it is, like, I don't think you'd see him doing that now, no. You know.
It just made me like him more, to be honest, that he addressed it on yeah. Inside, or, you know, that sort of way. But
problematic.
Yeah, exactly.
He's a problem.
But yeah, I would highly recommend to anyone else who hasn't seen it. I was absolutely blown. And like, there's an element of like I don't want to say Bill Hicks, but like, of that's like, except he's funny. You know, I don't think Bill Hicks is that funny. He's you know, can be fairly profound. He's
provocative.
Yeah, but Bill I don't Hicks, think like... he was particularly funny. But there's a certain, like, you know, I'm disappointed with all of you sort of vibe to his comedy. You yeah, know?
That's quite good, actually. You like to be, you like, what are you laughing at me for?
Yeah, like he does a bit in the thing where he does a little move, like, ugh, and like they laugh. It's like, oh, sure, you laugh at that.
Like, that's all it takes, like, you know, yeah, or something like that. Like, oh yeah.
But yeah. So anyway, would highly recommend it. I know good. You've seen it, but yeah, delighted with it.
My favorite song on it was the one. Was the Lower Your Expectations.
Yeah, that was great.
I really like that one, like, you know.
Yeah, there was some great... I don't know why, like, it's a shame that one's not on Spotify.
Oh, is it like, not?
The rest of his ones are, yeah. I think. But yeah, just excellent. I mean, a real sort of... I don't know what you'd call him, but...
Andy, you know what you were saying last time when you were like, oh, I'm watching a load of movies or whatever?
Yeah.
Can I recommend one to you? Just because you're talking about your jits and stuff, like...
Okay.
It's on Netflix. That I've recommended it before.
That one with the
Art of Self-Defense.
Okay.
It's 90 okay. minutes. It's 90 minutes.
Okay.
It's about Jesse Eisenberg, who, like, I think he gets mugged. I can't really remember. And then it's not jiu-jitsu, it's karate. But it's okay. The same thing. Like, mugs. He's kind of meek. Right. And he goes and he meets this ultra serious sensei. But because he takes himself so serious, that's where the comedy is mined okay. from. I couldn't help think of you when I was watching this.
Okay, great.
So it's like, I really, really liked it.
You had me at Netflix in 90 minutes because I'm in a real, I'm not thinking about the movies now. I'm just, yeah, let's go.
Okay.
Put it on. The Island,
top.
Sure.
Pop the top and drink it up.
So watching Naked Gun 2.5 yesterday. Yeah?
The best one of the three.
Fucking hilarious. Hector
Sauvage. And it has my boy, my man, as the bad
Keith
guy.
David, is he in it?
Robert Goulet is the of bad course. Guy. Yeah.
Piercing blue eyes of Robert Goulet. There's in that
something
movie.
About, like, he falls off the building. Spoilers for Naked Gun 2.5. It's 20, whatever.
30 years ago.
Yeah, almost coming up to 30. Closer to 30 than 20.
I think it was 91.
Was it Jesus?
Yeah.
When he falls off the building and, like, bounces...
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, on the, whatever you call that, it's like the awning of, like, the yeah. entrance to the hotel. He falls off and bounces and lands on his feet. And he does, like, a little, like, the head tilt and, like, a tie twist. And he's like, ah. And then, like, a giant lion just attacks him.
Oh, I'll tell you, the movie
that
just
is cinema.
It is so... I don't even know if you... Like, I haven't seen a movie like it before since... I think they perfected... And, like, what is that genre of movie where there's something... Like, you would watch it 100 times and you'd see something the 101st time that you hadn't seen before.
I guess it's spoof.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's that... But, like, those, like, Abram Zuckers, like, that, like, Zaz. The Zucker Brothers and Abrams. They did Airplane.
Okay. As well.
So it's that, like, 100 jokes a minute.
There's
type
so
thing.
Much going on all over the screen. Like, you have to
there's one of my favorite jokes ever is when it's like your man in the wheelchair is like tied up and he's like,
yeah.
I introduce to you the other Professor Nighthorn or whatever, and your man comes in and he's like, it's the same guy, but he's like, yeah. He's saying the opposite. It's like, I think we need to strengthen our dependence on fossil fuels. And they're like all confused, and he's like, he starts taking off, or he stands up out of the chair, and then he like takes off his mustache and his glasses, and then his wig's like, and I'm worth every penny. Like, it's like really long black hair. Like, oh.
It's one of those, like, it's because Leslie Nielsen plays it so straight.
Yeah.
Like, he's not laughing or smiling at all throughout the whole movie. He's deadly serious. Like,
if you watch the first one,
yeah,
and then watch the second one, he is way more wacky, and he is kind of gurning in the second one. In the first one, he's almost not too straight, but like it's actually stark, the difference. Whereas in the second one, like, his eyes are a bit wider, yeah. Or he'd be like, you know, like,
see. You know, see, he made a mistake and be like, oh.
Yeah, exactly.
What just fell?
Ooh. Yeah, exactly. Like, they're so good.
Brilliant.
We should do a commentary on those guys.
Yes, absolutely.
Because number three coming down the pike, you have Burt Ward.
Brilliant.
Dick, and you know that slasher McGurk.
It was only
Rocco Dylan.
Yeah.
Hey, McGurk, get over here.
I think 33 and a third was my favorite when I was a kid.
Me too.
But I'd love to watch them again. Like, and you know, I was watching it yesterday, and I was saying to Kerry, I was like, because you're one Priscilla Presley. I was like,
yeah.
Is she Elvis's daughter? And she's like, no, she was married to Elvis. Yeah. And I was like, I was so smug about it. I was like, Kerry, it was like, this is 1991. I was like, she's not married to Elvis, died in the 70s. And she's like, Google it. I was like, I was sparing your blushes by not Googling it. Okay, here we go. Then, of course, she was married to Elvis. And she's like, well,
they got married when they were,
it doesn't matter.
She was like 13 or something, like.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like,
oh, shit.
Yeah. Or, like, they were all at it back then. Like, Hank Williams was another one that was, like, you know,
yeah,
courting underage ladies. You know.
It was so common.
Weird. Weird. You
know? Even Donovan's lyric, you know, in Mellow Yellow, where he's like, I'm just mad about 14.
Yeah,
14's
mad about me.
Sorry. anyway, that's what I've been up to. So what have you been up to, more importantly, Terry?
I have watched two things this
Excellent.
Weekend. Friday night, I watched. I did it.
Is that Little River Band?
Yeah, you know it.
All right. Okay.
Hold me not away. I can hesitate. I did my. I don't want to say yearly, but maybe biannual. Watch.
Now, is biannual every 2 years or twice a year?
It can be both. First of all,
that doesn't make sense.
It's look it up. It can
you
be.
You could
both.
Learn English with rules like this.
Hey man, talk to Shakespeare or whoever.
Well, I'll talk to him.
Yeah. I watched There Will Be Blood.
Ooh.
Now, before you ask, I didn't watch it on Netflix. I broke out the Blu-ray.
But it's on Netflix.
Yeah, but the quality on the Blu-ray is better.
Now,
Netflix,
is it better?
Netflix. You're just getting some sort of stream, and it's a high quality stream, sure. But for a movie like this, you want it to be impeccable, Andy. And boy, howdy.
You're enjoying this, aren't you?
Oh, yes, sir. Boy, howdy, is it.
Look, I've only seen it once, but I'd love to see it again. I just remember it being fucking long. I don't remember anything that
happened. 2.5 hours, and I will tell you, it fucking does, man. You think, like, it's only 15 minutes longer, or maybe 20 minutes longer than fucking The Island. So that's your new measuring stick right there.
Yeah, but it's fucking all happening in The Island. Every 10 minutes you're like, oh,
I can't take my eyes off this. Are you kidding me?
Okay.
Because it looks so fucking amazing, first of all.
I'm not going to try and defend The Island.
But I just, I love it. Day-Lewis, powerhouse. But I tell you, Paul Dano as well. Like, I've always thought he was very good in it. You know.
Paul Dano. Is it Dano? I don't know him, but I feel like you're saying it wrong. It's got to be Dano.
Why?
Oh, that guy, yeah. Dano? Come on.
Anyway, and the score by Johnny Greenwood of Radiohead fame.
Oh.
Yeah. This was the one of the first ones he's done, and he's done a lot since that with Paul Thomas Anderson, my man, PTA.
Interesting. Now, that actually, for some reason, really perks my interest. Because
the score is
I like radio. I mean, I'm not a diehard fan, but like I like them a lot.
But for what's going on in this, because there's long stretches of like process,
yeah.
for lack of it, like literally there's
cream in your jeans, I'm sure.
There's a bit where Day-Lewis and his brother are like they're just going through this tract of land, and they're like hammering in like poles where they're gonna build a pipeline, and whatever way the music and stuff, it's like a train picking up speed almost, and like I don't want to say nothing is happening, but nothing of like consequence is happening, but because of the way it's shot and the music, I'm just like transfixed.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, and they're in this part of it now. Oh, they're by the beach. Oh, and they're in the long grass or whatever.
Faye,
they're
by the beach.
Yeah.
I'm not watching, honey.
You can't. I'll tell you, if you watch this again, you won't be able to take your eyes off this movie.
I feel like, because I remember at the time thinking Day-Lewis was amazing in it, but I didn't. I'll be honest, I didn't get it at the time.
This film should be taught in schools. That's my hot take.
On what?
English.
Oh, okay.
You know you do a movie for the Leaving Cert?
Do you? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. What did you do?
On the Waterfront.
Good movie.
Yeah, I didn't appreciate it at the time.
I think this should be in the curriculum.
Interesting. What did you cover out of interest before?
My Left Foot.
Oh.
Another great Day-Lewis performance. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you got Brando, and you got Steiger.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah, I didn't appreciate it at the time.
Yeah,
I was just a kid,
just a stupid punk kid.
Excellent. Well, that's kind of piqued my interest. I'm not going to lie to you.
And I also wanted to ask you: Did you hear the good word?
No.
That it's the summer. No. The summer of Cena. Because I went to the movies Sunday night and I saw a little picture starring John Cena. It's called The Suicide Squad. Directed by James Gunn. Great.
James Gunn.
Yeah, great movie. I had a lot of fun with it. It's a blast.
Suicide Squad. Is that like Harley Quinn and stuff?
It's a DC movie. This is when he was fired from Marvel. He jumped ship to DC and then Marvel hired him back. If you remember, he got fired off Guardians 3 for a short spell.
Oh, yeah.
For, like, somebody dug up his old tweets.
Questionable history thing.
It was, like, bad. Because he was, like, a... What would you call it? Like, a trauma filmmaker. He was, like, before he got respectable with mainstream Marvelosity.
Right.
He was an enfant terrible, you might say. Oh, yes, okay. I hear myself talk.
You love talking about, I just, like, even just the
pictures, Andy.
The choice of words you use when you're talking about movies is different. You just love it. You love talking about it. You love listening. You love watching. You're just enraptured with it.
Hell,
it's infectious, Terry.
Yeah. But I went to see this movie. It's a fucking good movie. It's
best DC movie. Although Batman,
best,
I guess, is DC.
Modern, like, since they started trying to compete, do the DC Universe thing with Marvel.
Yeah.
So since, if you were to say, post-Christopher Nolan movies.
Yeah.
So, like, from 2012, 2013 onwards, I would say it's my favorite one. Huh. Because it is kind of like a B-movie. Like some of the characters in it, I'm like, who's this? Like, Polka Dot Man? Okay. Like, Sylvester Stallone plays like a man shark.
Right.
And the weird thing about James Gunn is that he's that good a filmmaker, he can make me care whether or not this shark lives or dies.
Right.
Because he's like a kind of idiot. Swanton's like, any questions? And he's just like, has his hand up and he's like, hand. And you're like, okay, he's that character. Right. And then by the end, I'm like, oh, don't kill him. I want him to live.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Because you know? He, like, they have this whole arc.
Was this So James Gunn directed this, and then he did such a good job, Marvel took him back, or did Marvel take him back anyway?
So Marvel had fired him because of that, and then he went over, and it was announced that I think he was writing the script for Suicide Squad, and then they were like, do you want to direct it?
Yeah.
I don't think he'd even finished filming it or finished production, and Marvel hired him back, and they were like, but, like, you know, there's no us or them, you know, thing. It's like, you finish what you're doing there and come right. back.
I was going to say, did they have to pull him out? Like,
no, but, like, you know, I don't know if you've seen the other Suicide Squad.
No.
I haven't either, to be honest.
It wasn't good, though, was it?
No. I've heard it really bad reviews, and, like, I remember watching the trailer, and it was full of, like, needle drops for the sake of it. It's like Bohemian Rhapsody, you know, we've got all the hits, you know, like, and apparently it was like they go to a prison in New Orleans, they play House of the Rising Sun.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, so
it's a bit on the nose. Yeah. Go to Alabama, they play Sweet Home Alabama, sort of style.
That kind of stuff. Yeah. Like, you know, and it was like, in this, like, James Gunn does enjoy a good needle drop, but, like, what's clever about the film is it's set on, like, this island off the coast of South America. This, like, really small nation. And the whole movie is set there, pretty much, which I think is quite a clever way to do it. So, like, all the, like, the travel, like, they're in, like, old VW buses with tape decks. So, like, you get your old-style music in through that story plot. You know, they're listening to it on that. There's a bit in it where somebody is getting tortured and, like, they're singing a song while they get, like, in between getting tortured.
Right.
And I was like, this is a bit annoying. Like, why are they singing? Or, like, whatever, like, you know. And then there's a whole action sequence to, like, a kind of old style big band music. And I didn't pick up on that. No, but I didn't pick up on it until halfway through that it's like, because the lyric, they kept singing the same lyric over and over again.
Yeah.
And then it's only about 2 minutes into the action sequence that lyric comes in. And I'm like, okay, that's a very clever use, because they had just, it was in the script 5 minutes ago. It's not for the sake of it, if you know what I mean. Like,
Everything is for a reason.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just to get back to my first point, John Cena is fucking great in it. He gets
I'm glad he's doing well.
He gets to swear a lot. Apparently, they're doing, like, a HBO Max series on his character from this movie.
Oh, great.
That James Gunn is, like, exec producing.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, so, you know.
So, if he's exec producing, that means he has, like, a good say in the direction.
He's the showrunner, essentially, or, like, you know, he kind of, like, say I'm writing episode one, you're writing episode two. He'll be like, your notes on this are, you need to include blah, blah, blah. Or, like, I'll give him my script and be like, yeah, it's good, but I need you to change this, 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 and this.
To,
like,
incorporate,
you know what I mean?
That. Happening.
Or to get it where he wants it to go, you know what I mean?
Right,
like,
okay.
So,
interesting.
His character is called Peacemaker. and it's like, his character is called Peacemaker, but it's like, he is this, like, ultra-violent, like, anything's a weapon in his hand. And it's like, his justification is, I'll do anything to achieve peace. Even murder 20 people.
Right, okay.
You know, like, which doesn't make any sense. But, like,
I'd like to see more John Cena, to be honest. I like seeing John Cena in movies.
He's, like, between this and Fast 9, like, Fast 9, they kind of limit him. And this, he gets to be more, like, not goofy, but he's straight.
He has more fun in this one.
Yeah, like, he's a straight man that says ridiculous things. You know what I mean? Like, he's, like, stiff for a lot of it. But he says ridiculous thing. It was like, somebody's like, eat a dick. He's like, if this beach were full of dicks and I had to eat every one of them in order to complete the mission, then I'd do that. It's like, why would the beach be full of dicks? He's like, who knows what mad men do to achieve their goals? Like, just like that kind of, again, all right, straight.
So
rat-a-tad.
This is a return to form then for DC, basically.
Yeah, I mean, look, I watched Wonder Woman 1984. It was awful. It was fucking 2.5 hours or something. This one,
I tell you, they've got some nerve. It drives me mad that people think, how dare they think that they're going to sit and watch this terrible movie for 2.5 hours? How dare they?
They don't think it's going to be terrible when they're making it.
And even still, even if they think it's going to be good, 2.5 is, you better be Scorsese or fucking Nolan.
I saw a thing on Twitter and like James Gunn was doing an AMA. I think this one is like 2:10, right?
Yeah.
And he was like doing it, like Ask Me Anything. And it was like, any tips for a first time director or whatever? And he said, your third act needs to be... No. Yes, he said...
Go on.
I'm trying to think. You're basically saying that like your third act has to be half as much as your first two. So it was like, basically, I'm butchering this, but it was like, and it made sense to me when I was reading at the time, it was like, spend as much time on your third act as you do on the other two combined in order to like avoid that like slog.
Oh, so like devote like twice as much attention to your third act, essentially.
Yes.
Right.
But at the same time, but like don't make it as long as your other two.
Yeah.
So like...
Keep it to the normal third act length, but just give it extra time or something.
Yeah,
along those
lines. Exactly like that. Like, I'll find it and I'll, you know.
I'm sure it was more eloquently put by the man
guy
himself.
Who talks about pissing on babies or whatever.
Is that what he was saying?
That's what his old tweets were like.
Maybe best not go back to his old tweets then.
Anyway, so that's all I have.
Okay, well, look, Terry, that's a perfect segue to get into.
What are we like time wise? 36, getting
closer.
Getting closer.
Something's missing. Yeah. We are talking today, folks, about the 17th episode of the 8th season of The Simpsons. My Sister, My Sitter. Jesus, episode 17. It aired March 2nd, 1997. It was written by Dan Graney. I wonder if he's any relation to Matt.
Graney?
They both pronounce and spell their names differently, sir. Written by Dan Graney and directed by Jim Reardon. Like numerous preceding episodes, My Sister, My Sitter deals with the relationship between Bart and Lisa. Which, what was the last one? Oh yeah, they were foiling Sideshow Bob and Cecil. Etc. Graney specializes in writing Bart and Lisa episodes from the perspective of a kid. Elaine E. Sutherland, who is a member of the Law Society of Scotland's Family Law Subcommittee and professor of Child and Family Law at the Law School Skirling University, said...
Could you repeat that?
Absolutely not, but thank you for asking. She used the episode to describe the potential problems of letting one of your kids babysit the rest. And the episode has been used as... like, for example, in The Psychology of the Simpsons, the episode is an example of how, in their words, feminine anger rarely solves the problem on The Simpsons. And there's other ones about how, you know, questioning kids babysitting themselves. This episode is used as an example against it, basically, in actual real life conversation. And the idea of...
Interesting.
Look, I didn't vet these facts before I started reading them, alright, T?
What are these people doing?
I don't know. I don't know.
Why would you use this episode? I know that there's... Like, your child's hardly going to order fucking Les Dennis to come entertain at your house at 10 o'clock on a Saturday night. Like,
yeah.
I don't know why I chose Les Dennis.
Les Dennis.
He seems like he'd do it.
He'd do anything for a fee. Yeah. But yeah, it was essentially, you know, while one child may be mature enough to babysit, it's not certain that the other kids accept the babysitter's authority. That's what a lot of people are pointing to.
NASA or whatever say they've seen an alien.
The idea of revamping the waterfront came from cities like Baltimore, who were always trying to fix formerly horrible places. And of course, Planet Hype is a play on Planet Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever eaten in Planet Hollywood?
No. Hard Rock, yes. Planet Hollywood, no.
I believe we went to Planet Hollywood for, I think it was like a confirmation. Remember you'd go for a dinner?
We used to do that kind of stuff, didn't we? Yeah. Like, I think we went to Hard Rock. That was last time for my nephew's communion, I want to say.
Yeah.
You know?
Nice. Yeah. It's kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
But according to Matt Groening, the show had written...
Rainy?
no relation to Dan, had written an entire episode around Planet Hollywood, which featured the voices of Schwarzenegger, Stallone, and Willis as the Three Stooges type of characters. The episode was never animated because it turned out that it was only the publicist of Planet Hollywood's idea, and the actors did not want to participate.
Could you imagine? I think Schwarzenegger, yeah. Probably Stallone, yeah. Willis, no.
You don't think Willis would have done it or would have been good?
I don't think he would have done it.
I would have thought Willis would have been the first one to do it.
I feel so sad. I read a thing about Bruce Willis and it's like...
Uh-oh. Am I going to look at him differently forever now?
Well, it's just like...
Go on.
It was like the 2010s were this... He had like Looper. Have you seen that movie?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Good movie. And Moonrise Kingdom, a Wes Anderson movie.
Yeah.
Two great performances in it. And you're like, oh, he's you know, he's energized again. He's back. Mm-hmm. And then I think he released the fifth Die Hard. It was a flop.
Mm-hmm. No shit.
And Red 2.
Is that Expendables sort of thing?
He wasn't even asked back for the Expendables. Now, his character was written out because he wanted too much money. Apparently, this is the thing that it was like, Red 2 was like, he's like a retired agent or something like that, like I think. Yeah. And there's a bunch, like Helen Mirren is in, Morgan Freeman, yeah. There's a bunch of oldies in it.
Yeah, kind of like I'm going to make my own Expendables.
No, this is, but like, he had this as well as the Expendables. I don't think he was ever like big, and I think he was like the guy who sets up the jobs in the Expendables.
Okay.
But he was due to be a bigger one in Expendables 3, and it was like, because he was difficult to work with and wanted a lot of money and didn't want to work a lot, yeah. They were like, no, see you later. And then he hooked up with this producer who's like, we can give you $1 million a day if you show up. And like, if you look up, like, and like, show up for 4 days, get your scenes done,
what?
And get out. If you look up his IMDb or his Wikipedia, yeah. His last few, I'd say his last 20 films are all ones you would never have heard of.
Really?
He did do an M. Night Shyamalan film recently, but like, they're all like Lock Safe or whatever, like something.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, is this a real movie? No, this is like, these are movies they make on 30 Rock or something, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Look them up there. I can see.
Let me see. Bruce Willis.
Out There, or like Dark Wood. I think it's a money laundering thing. Honestly, I do.
Let me see. Okay, so he's got loads, yada yada yada, and then okay. All these direct-to-video cameo, uncredited cameo, direct-to-video. The Prince.
Never heard of it.
Precious Cargo.
Never heard of it. Doesn't exist. Like,
Once Upon a Time in Venice.
I have heard of that one.
Oh yeah, I've heard of that one.
Aquaman is in that.
First Kill.
Yeah.
Acts of Violence. Airstrike.
Like a generic.
Motherless name. Brooklyn.
That one he is. That's an Ed Norton movie that was like, yeah. He plays somebody that gets killed at the very start, and Ed Norton is trying to solve his murder.
Wow, he's been in a lot of...
They're all like direct to video where he gets paid, say, if the Breach, budget... Yeah, if the budget...
Kill.
Yeah, exactly, that kind of shit. Like, if the budget is 11 million, 2 million of that is going to him for like 3 days work or something like that. Like, oh my you know? God.
And looking at the ones that are in post-production, it really is first name, second name. Yeah. It's like Paradise City, White Elephant, Soul Assassin, Killing Field, The Fortress, Gasoline Alley, American Siege.
Yeah.
It's all just these two-name movies.
How much money do you need? Like,
what's wrong with him?
Brucey, like, and like, spoiler alert, we're doing like top five favorite performances ever, and like, I was batting around his performance in Die Hard as you know,
he doesn't part need of it.
Is he doing? It just makes me sad seeing.
Yeah, what is he doing?
This guy used to be so charismatic.
Yeah,
and now he's just like, and like the fact you were like, yeah, Bruce Willis would be like one of the first ones, like.
It's just I would have thought. It's just sad. Now he would, if they paid him enough. Now, this episode finished, it tied with Melrose Place.
First?
The Nielsen rating for the... it doesn't say. Oh, no. The fifth... It was a tie with Melrose Place in 47th, but fifth highest rated show on Fox that week. Still a Nielsen rating of 9, approximately 8.7 million household. Positive reviews. I can't believe it's a bigger and better updated unofficial Simpsons guide called it a clever episode, if a little disjointed. The two stories don't gel as well as normal. And that's pretty much it. I mean, let's
get to your notes.
Can we just get into it? First of all, Ion Springfield. Bloody yes.
What a start.
And you know,
I was kind of glad that they didn't do the like video part of it.
Oh yeah.
You know,
like, yeah, it was fine. Just
You've seen it all before, and they never come up with any new parts. Like,
Oh, that worked for me big time. I was a big fan of just the line. I mean, we sort of discussed it in the intro, but move over, Baltimore. Springfield has stolen your idea.
Yeah,
it's like, just like they're not even trying to hide it.
The two story outhouse. I don't know why it was like the wave your man gives before he gets in the bottom.
Oh god!
What I didn't like, and this I was like, oh, is this how it's going to be? Where it's like, okay, how many of you are here for shoulder surgery? Like, yeah. Gotcha. I was like,
yeah, that's a hair on my tongue. In my. Yeah, let the sour taste in mine also, Terry.
I'll put the kibosh on this episode, Andy. I've kiboshed before. And I'll kibosh again.
Crazy John Lavola. If I am jumping around the place, Terry, you tell me. I'm only taking notes when I see something I like here. I was a fan of the Reverend Lovejoy's sermon.
There's not much before that. It's like Lisa and Janie with the babysitter twins.
Never see Lisa with a friend, but sure.
Yeah, I was thinking that as well, actually. And she's not really her friend. She's like, what's wrong with you? Like, lighten up, Lisa. I did like the little thing with Homer, where he's like, oh, that sounds like a party, a great party. He's like, you like parties, huh? Well, I just remember they're having a big one at the waterfront this weekend. It's like, you didn't remember that? You just saw it on TV.
It's a weird plot point that Homer and Marge are going to this. Like
it's weird that it's not a bigger deal made out of it as well.
Yeah,
when they were joining the country club, it was such a big deal.
Yeah, exactly. Like, they're going like secondary.
They're getting all dressed up and going out, and it's just a means to an end, kind of. But like, I'll say it now: the best stuff in this episode comes from their adventure,
Homer and Marge.
Yeah,
yeah, I'd agree. But just Lovejoy, where he's like, mention the topic of today's sermon and get a dollar off.
It's just the way he's like, get a dollar off.
He's like a robot. Like.
Yeah, he's like, the topic was love.
Oh. And what was it again? The thing that had me cracking up was Flanders, because this is basically where Lovejoy announces Lisa as babysitting services, an 8-year-old
as
a babysitter. And Flanders, who's it that's been held by militants? Is it Maude?
Maude and her mother.
Homer, I've got a fuzzy of a bear of a problem. You know, Maude and her mother were visiting Tyre and Sidon, the twin cities of the Holy Land. They must have kneeled in the wrong place and prayed to the wrong god because they're being held prisoner by militants of some sort.
Militants, well, if I were you, I'd kick their asses.
Well, any hoodly-doodle, the embassy says it's just a routine hostage-taking, but I have to drive to Capital City, fill out some forms to get them out. Could you possibly watch the kids tonight?
Oh, gee, I'd really love to want to help you, Flanders, but Marge was taken prisoner in the Holy Land, and...
I'll do it. I'll babysit.
Oh, I don't know, Lisa. You're awfully young, and the boys can be a handful. Todd's been pinching everyone lately.
But I'm smart and responsible, and my parents will be right next door.
Well, what do you say, Homer? Can Lisa babysit for my kids?
Please, please, please.
I'll have to ask her.
He's still like, so optimistic.
They're being held. He's like, they say it's just a relative hostage negotiation, but still, I gotta go to Capital City and fill out some forms. Like, could you watch the boys? And he's like, I don't know. Marge is taken hostage in Holy Land.
He doesn't even give a shit.
Yeah, he's like, the Holy Land.
He's just repeating like what he remembers of his horrific
thing.
And then
Lisa being like, I'll do it, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, Flanders being like, he can be, Todd's been pinching everyone lately. And Lisa convinced him, and Homer is like, he's like, what do you think, Homer? Can Lisa watch him? He's like, I'll have to ask her. And just like slams the door in
She's
his
right
face.
There. So she goes, and I have to say, like, I actually put a note, because Kerry was actually mentioned it as I was writing it, that Rod and Todd's reaction to the moth in the
very
room
funny
was what my reaction would be when there's a moth in the room. And the whole
harmful than a ladybug.
A ladybug. And when Lisa's telling them the story, and she's like,
it's good, isn't it? Like,
oh, this was really funny, right? He's just like, did he have a brother? He did. He had a brother who was 2 space years older than him. I don't like this story.
It's the way it's pulled up to his eyeballs. Like, I don't like this story.
So sheltered. Yeah. They're going to get eaten alive in middle school.
But even this one, he's like, God, I hope Lisa can tell us a story.
Yeah.
About robots. They're just very cute, I guess.
It's the innocence of it all. And then Lisa's getting more gigs. She's going to...
But I really like Flanders in this episode, where he's like, wow, sleeping after a bug attack? And Todd's as dry as a bone. Lisa, you're a miracle worker.
And what happened with Maud being held captive? Like,
she's not back with him. Like he's on his own.
Yeah.
Holy Land. The Wiggums have hired Lisa because they're going to see Bob Seger.
It's like, enjoy Bob Saget. Who would you rather go see?
Bob Seger, man.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm a big Seger head.
You are actually, aren't
night
you?
Moves.
You're a night mover.
Night mover. I take my vacations by Fire Lake.
I don't know that one.
You know, Rock and Roll Never Forgets, Andy.
Is that another song?
Yes, these are all songs.
I know Night Moves.
You certainly know. Just take those old records off the shelf.
Is that Bob Seger?
You know it, man.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. Okay. I'm picking
that
up
my,
now.
That for years on my old phone. That was my alarm. That'll wake you up in the morning.
No. See, I used to play songs I like as my wake up thing, but I ended up hating them.
No,
you know, because I was like, ugh.
I had like September as my alarm. And that would be like, you just like want to like throw the blanket off. You're like, I don't know if you've ever seen
actually,
like every 25th of September, he's a comedy writer. He's on Twitter. His name is, and I'm not going to say his last name because I will butcher it. His first name is Demi.
Okay.
D-E-M-I.
What's his second name?
It's an African name that I cannot pronounce.
Go on.
But he does a video every year on the 25th of September to that song by September. And like each one it gets more and more extravagant. Like the last one was like it's just the background, and then like he starts pulling all these things and like he's dancing to the music and stuff. But he's like pulling all this stuff and like say confetti is shooting off or whatever. And in this one then you realize he's in the back of like a moving truck. Like that is decorated to look like a beach or something. And then he steps out and he's like on the side of a highway in LA. And like then at the perfectly timed, it's all one shot as well. There's like an airplane flies by, like,
elaborate.
a banner is placed. Yeah, like each one is getting awesome. More and more elaborate. Like,
that's brilliant.
Yeah, it's great.
Let's check that out.
Really good. Demi, and it begins with an A. I'm not even going to try
spell
and
spell it. I'll take a stab at it.
I'll tell you now. I'll type it in, right?
Type it in. I guarantee I'll get it right the first time.
Okay.
I kind of have a way with people.
Okay. Demi.
Mm-hmm.
A-D-E-J-U-Y-I-G-B-E.
Adoijibe?
I don't know, maybe. Right? Maybe.
Anyway.
Adoijibe? I'm not so sure
gonna,
this is cool.
But look, I'm going to leave it there.
Follow him on Twitter. I think he has the videos pinned or whatever.
Excellent.
I'm looking at a video of him now. Yeah. No, 21st of September. He has a t-shirt, September 21.
Yeah, 21st of September.
What was I saying, 25th?
You said 25th. No, I let it go. I thought maybe it is the 25th.
Look, it's not like I'm accurate all the time on this.
Pop quiz to redeem yourself. Can you tell me another Motown song that features the month of September? In the first line of the song.
Papa was a rolling stone.
It was the 3rd of September.
I mean, you got your pick of songs for the outro.
Jesus, you're going to have to remind me, because every time I'm editing them, I'm always kind of breezing through it. I must listen to the whole thing on the edit, and I keep missing them.
Yeah. Anyway, I'll remember. Let's see.
Another great joke that I liked in this was when Lisa's dropping off, or when Dr. Hibbert is dropping off Lisa. Yeah. He's like, I only wish my Volvo mechanic was as reliable. His chair just goes back.
Bye.
Goodbye, Lisa. Still down. And then... Now, to be honest, my next note is just that the Simpsons get Lisa to babysit Bart. Like, I don't know if I'm missing much.
What's in between is like Lisa's kind of lording over Bart that she has money or whatever.
Yeah.
I love the line when Marge and Homer come down the stairs, Bart being like, you could be Abe Lincoln's father's boss.
Yeah.
Love it. Like,
and Homer's there, like, so proud with the monocle and top hat and everything. And then when they say that Lisa's gonna first, he's like, "When's Grandpa getting here?" Not Patty and Selma. It's like Lisa's gonna babysit, and then he's going mad. He's like, "This is the greatest injustice in the history of the world." Marge's like, "Well, got him right." Not even listening.
And I love how Homer's like, "Take it like a man, boy, and do everything your sister says."
Yeah, leaving a 10-year-old and an 8-year-old on their own.
Fucking hell! Like, end of Act One.
I'm just taking a sip of my apple and blackcurrant here.
I did like that where, like, she's saying something to him. He's like, "You're dead." And she's like, "If you want to wash up for dinner, you can use the Mr. Bubbles." Like, "You are so..." What is she thinking, though, as well? Like,
what does she think's going to happen?
Yeah. Like, here's your plan of action here. Let Bart watch TV. You make dinner for the three of you and just say, "Dinner's here." Let him come in. Let him stay and watch TV. Don't even, like, bother.
Yeah. Definitely don't be trying to get him into bed.
Yeah, just look after Maggie. Like,
yeah. Say go to bed once or whatever, or say you should go
to
bed
when you can see he's tired, like, or whatever. Like, if he's sitting in front of the TV and he's heavy eyes, like,
just tell your parents when they came home he wouldn't go. And that's it.
Homer driving down the waterfront. There's practically no traffic.
Homer, the mayor is yelling at us.
Stop, you idiot.
It's the fact that it goes, you don't even hear the end of idiot. It's like, stop, you idiot.
Possibly my favorite joke in the episode.
Brilliant.
And then he stops on the children's message of peace.
Brilliant. My next note was just Bart being a little prick again. This is where Bart really dials up the
lima beans.
Yeah. And the next note is just Maggie's eyes when she gets the caffeine of just that sort of crazy, like, the pupils are dilated and she just becomes like an animal.
It's weird that, like, the whole thing, like, I was like, I forgot how much of this is, like, how quickly it's Bart and Lisa, and, like, Bart being like, "Gaga, goo goo, baby, hate bit," like,
yeah,
you know, like that. And then, like,
and you never hear Maggie crying as well. That was
it's a
rare one. Yeah.
I do like, I felt for me anyway, that, like, breaking it up and going to Homer and Marge made it more palatable for me. Like, every time I come back to Homer and Marge, I was like, okay. because I wasn't digging the babysitting stuff, to be honest. Like,
yeah,
it was grating.
It was just kind of grating me, to be honest.
Yeah. But Homer and Marge, it was just so, like, part of it was quite sweet. It was like, Marge, like, "This is what I imagine Paris must be like." And he's like, "You've never been?" Like, of course not. Like
little things that she's loving, like, oh, malaria zone.
Planet so Hyped, where first of all, again, another great line is like, the entire menu was personally approved by my secretary.
Then they take extra pictures.
Yeah. Ooh.
And it looks Cadillac. Like a Cadillac. Oh, it's driven straight into the wall. Please help
me.
Moe's
business.
Yeah. You're a long way. What's the line? Like,
this isn't faux dive. This is a dive. I'll start a tab.
Yeah. But then, like, when you get back to Bart and Lisa, like, she's trying to get Maggie, and she's like, oh, Bart, are you getting ready for bed? He's like, yeah. And he's ordering a bunch of things to arrive.
The party sub.
The guy, when the sub arrives, it's the guy where he's like, here you go, miss. Here's your, how many feet? No, how much?
25 is your 25 long sub sandwich, swimming in vinegar.
Just the way you like it.
Yeah, 225 plus tip.
I just love that voice already.
And like crusty barge, and like, hey, are you ready to get rowdy?
Yeah. And they're all just showing up.
He's like, it's an emergency bachelor party. I get 500 just for saying, hey.
And Lisa, like, eventually Lisa gets them all to go. I think, though, it was really just the sub and crusty, wasn't it? Or was there...
No, then there was like a sisterectomy, which I didn't, you know, that wasn't great. Then there's the officials, like, seeing the UFO. He's like, I didn't see any UFO, which I remember being in. It's like the ad on Sky. Yeah. It was like, Bart makes trouble for Lisa this Sunday. He's like, I didn't see any UFO.
Yeah, that's right.
And lovely about it, you didn't. And he just puts the needle away. Like,
no.
The ambassador for Ghana.
Why would the ambassador do such a thing? So Lisa tells him all to scram, essentially.
Yeah.
And
you get the whole bread bed thing.
I like that. I laughed at that. It's like, she's like, go to bed. It's like, right, bread. Go to bread.
And then the whole thing where he's like, you got to catch me. You know, he's jumping backwards.
And what sort of, like, yeah, so first of all, he falls down the stairs, breaks his arm, gets a big nasty bump on the noggin.
Krusty
and then
returning, though, is like,
yeah,
all right, well, call him. As long as I can have some of that big sandwich, like, oh, I'll come back later. Yeah. Closes the door. Like.
That's classic Krusty as well. Like, he would walk into a scene where some shit has gone down and he would scarf it.
Yeah. It's great use of him.
Yeah.
But his arm, the noise of the arm.
It's like just hanging. Like,
yeah.
When it cuts back to Homer and Marge, he's like, yo, Marge, when I think of all the times I've... like, the fountain starts spraying. Like, oh, you walked in the fountain!
Like, when he's running around, like...
like he's about to say... What
I was
amazing...
once like you.
I was once like you. He was about to say what an amazing night that he's having. Like, it was just destroyed. Like, why can't he just keep walking?
I didn't really care for Bart, like... It seems a bit of a weird plot device. Like,
what sort of psychotic kid bangs his head on the door till he passes out?
It's like, we need to get Bart unconscious. We'll have him bang his head off the door.
Yeah.
There's got to be a better way.
They really should have just figured out a way for him to be injured and unconscious at the same time. Not be injured, get back consciousness, and then try and be a little shit again.
Even if he gained consciousness and, like, Lisa trying to do something... Like, and she, like, accidentally opens a cabinet and, like, knocks him out or something like that.
Yeah.
That's better, I think, than
Bart maliciously. Do you think it's one of those things that you can't really see it? Like, can they show Bart getting knocked out?
I mean, that might have been fell down the stairs and busted his arm up, you know? I mean...
I guess if they're showing that, yeah.
Yeah, like, and his arm is, like, something out of a fucking horror film.
Yeah. So yeah, she sees him unconscious because he's a psychotic kid who bangs his head on the door till he passes out. She calls the police. And it's that voice again. Tress McNeil.
Yeah, the 911, yeah.
Simpson. Yeah. Look, we already got a call for a...
Sisterectomy.
A severe case of butt rot.
And a leprechaun bite.
How dumb do you think we are? I love that.
When she envisions Dr. Hibbert. And he's like, nasty bump on the noggin, dislocated shoulder. My diagnosis, bad babysitting. Bad
babysitting. And the Dr. Hibbert that I know as an adult would be like that.
Yeah.
Dr. Hibbert's way more opinionated than I would have thought back when I was a kid. And he was at that giant Republican party.
Yeah, and you know, he's up to some stuff.
Of course he has.
He's the dark. This is what I've realized through our rewatch of this series. He's the darkest horse in Springfield. Yeah. He's up. He's the guy that, like, don't go into the basement. That's what he's telling Lisa when she's babysitting. He's like, no, the basement's locked, so don't try and go down there.
Did he say that?
No, but like, that's what I imagined. That's, come on, Andy.
I was thinking, what? I don't remember him saying
no,
this.
No, but he's like, oh no, you don't. 100%. Don't go down there. Like,
yeah. He's like, why? What's down there?
Well, I'll be back in a couple
of. Don't know, Lisa.
Yeah. I'll be back soon.
grabs the hatchet off the wall.
I was thinking more of like a sex dungeon or something. Like somebody's kept down there.
Interesting.
Like the gimp from Pulp Fiction. Like,
has anyone seen his wife this season? Not me.
Last time I saw her was, oh, she's in the next episode. Funnily enough, you should mention it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
The whole thing of Lisa wheeling Bart and Maggie. Just like I felt for Lisa in this one because she's eight.
It's a long night for her. Like,
yes,
she goes
covered in mud. Like,
see Dr. Nick Riviera's clinic.
I'm sure he's just as good as Dr. Hibbert.
It says so,
in his head.
there's a nice cut here where like Homer and Marge, and she's like. Homer is assuring Marge, saying like, oh, Lisa's in charge and she's the responsible one, and it's like next it's like her dumping Bart into the wheelbarrow. Yeah. I was like, that's good cut. Yeah. I didn't laugh at it, but I was like, I like that.
Well done. Yeah. Yeah. I did like while you mentioned that Homer doing his jello shooters. He's drinking like an absolute animal.
And some of the acting by Yardley Smith in this episode is really good. Like when Maggie is playing with Bart's face, she's like, Maggie!
Yeah.
You know, like it's good performance.
That is good. Yeah, good point. I wouldn't have actually thought.
Maggie is in the cat carrier and Bart in the wheelbarrow. Like.
And they get to the hospital and like Smithers, I never got this really as a kid. He's standing sort of like a bit a bit forward, I guess. Yeah. You can't sit down. And it's like, Mr. Smithers, Bart's really hurt. Can we cut in front of you? He's like, no, I really should get this taken care of.
Yeah.
What's he got, something stuck on his arse?
Yeah, I think so. But I used to always think it was something with his back. Yeah. But like now as an adult, I'm like, oh, what's up there? Like,
that's a bit of a, it's a bit gone from to 100 with Smithers, isn't it? Like,
yeah, Richard Gere. I mean, you know, he's hanging out with John Waters. Who knows?
You just don't know.
Snake being like, I must have like fell on a bullet and it drove itself into my gut.
Yeah.
Save that for court.
And the comic book guy, no, loneliness and cheeseburgers are a dangerous mix.
I did like this where it's like the people in the wheelbarrow line, it's like Mo, Barney, it's like the monkey and Prof Frink, did you notice that? And it was like as if it was like a body switch.
Oh,
like
no,
as if Prof Frink was in the body of the monkey. Like,
oh, brilliant. I never caught that.
The burger guy and the comic book guy. It was very good.
So like she basically has to go to a different place because she's not getting
seen. I think she's going to the hospital. She's going to the ER. Like.
But when she runs into Chief Wiggum and like... I love the fact that like he sees her and she's like, "Hi, how are you?"
Yeah,
I'm fine.
I'm fine, Lisa.
He's not ready for that.
I'm fine.
And he's like, "Now remember, you want to go with traffic, or is it against traffic? No, it's with traffic. With traffic." And it's the way he turns around. He's like, "Hold on, just a second.
Hold on, 1 minute. Let me have a look at that wheelbarrow, please." Like, just as I thought, it's a yard king. Well, that's a quality barrel. I gotta run.
And like, he's not even questioning why this 8-year-old is out with a wheelbarrow and in the middle of, on the side of the road in the middle of the night.
Just like Bart though, like just like tumbling down the hill is quite upsetting. There's a lot of upsetting things in this episode.
It's a bit tonally, off.
This part of it is quite dark, and there is some, like I say, I don't know if it's to be admired or whatever. Like, there's stuff there. I didn't really care for it, but like, I appreciate the idea. Yeah,
they're doing stuff.
And then when you come back to Homer and Marge, I'm like, I like this, but it doesn't. Yeah. It's here's what it is.
It's not enough.
It's like you're trying to.
Go on. Here we go.
It's like you've cut a watermelon in half.
Oh, okay. Where are you going with this?
And you've cut an apple, and you're trying to put the two of them together to try and make them whole.
Okay,
again.
I like
you
that.
You get me? Like,
I like that.
They don't go together.
I didn't know where you were going to go.
One
with,
is big, Homer and Marge being doesn't fit. The big side, and like small excellent. And dark.
Excellent fruit ring. Analogy.
I'm a fruitsman. And that is how you do that.
All right, you're killing me.
I'm dead. Are you happy?
Okay. Anyway, where was I?
So
Quimby's like, Quimby, I officially like, declare this. What the hell is that?
I love that. Like,
And this is where it gets like, it's basically like Lisa's dream, like barring.
This, but like, it's just like everything.
All the lights. Like, she's on drugs.
She's murdered her brother, and she's trying to dump the body in the harbor. Well, duh. And as a grim finale, she intends to drown that poor caged baby. Oh, Mel.
And as a finale.
As a grim finale. And like, I love Homer. She, well, like, Lovejoy's like, and she's on drugs. Like,
yeah.
Give me the drugs, Lisa. Like the first thing.
And then, like, that's kind of like, you know.
Hibbert says the same thing. Nasty bump on the noggin. Dislocated shoulder caused by a bad fall as a result of bad babysitting. Now, I used to always say when I was a manager of a football team.
Go on.
And still now as an ex-manager, when I'm watching something happen on watching a football match and like be like that, don't like that decision. Yeah. I'd be like, my diagnosis, bad management. Like, say like they take Mo Salah off when they're chasing the game or something that. Yeah. Like, my diagnosis, bad management.
It can just be used for anything. That's the thing. You can probably pick something in every episode and use it.
Yeah, we've been spoiled with how good this show is. And even when we complain about it, I feel like it is better than fucking...
pretty much everything else.
Like, think of some of those like sitcoms that run for 2 seasons.
Yeah.
And you're like, one terrible episode of The Simpsons in its prime has more than half a season.
So
like,
much
you
more.
Know, like,
yeah.
Some of these shows, I think, I must be like... like, my life must be the Truman Show or something like that. And somebody is watching me watch these shows and I'm like, are these real? Like, is this supposed to be something?
Pull back on the craziness. He's becoming suspicious.
Make them better.
And I'll be like to you, and the last thing I'd ever do is lie to you.
Like, holding a glass of orange juice. Yeah. Or the bottle of orange juice.
Who are you talking to?
Good movie.
Great movie.
Ed Harris.
I forgot that was Ed Harris.
Ed Harris.
Fucking great movie. And that's kind of the end. Like, Lisa's babysitting business is kaput. Bart gives the old, I've been a prick for 20 minutes.
I hated the Bart thing, like.
But here's a, I'm sorry for you, and it's all okay.
Well, I'm sorry. And then it's just, that's it. I did like the line. He's like, I'm going to sell some seeds. Would you like some seeds? And he's like,
No thanks.
Like, I like that part of it. Yeah.
I can always sell seeds. Yeah. You want some seeds?
Would you like some seeds?
No thanks.
But then like the phone rings and she's like Hibbert being like asking, is she available to babysit? And she's like, aren't you concerned? and take drugs and injure children. It's like, well, yes, that is a concern, but it's so hard to find a sitter, and I've got judo tonight. Yeah. Where is his wife?
I see, it's coming more suspicious by the minute.
Yeah, and
Flanders then called.
Like, Lisa, Ned Flanders, you available tonight?
Yeah.
Didn't you hear I almost killed my brother? You did? Just a minute.
Just a second.
What time can you come over?
Great. That's a nice ending. That's a nice ending. Line to end.
It's a great button on an episode. A great button on a not so great episode. I'm going to say it.
Well, let's save it for ratings, Terry.
We want you to tell us what you think and be honest, because no one from the show is here spying on you.
What did you think of it?
Mixed bag, to say the least.
Ooh, okay.
It's another one of these weird season 8 ones that I'm like,
like, interesting.
They keep letting me slip through their fingers, and then just as I fall through, they grab me and they're like, here's 3 really good ones in a row. Now you're back in the palm of my hand.
Like, I'm looking at your rating specifically, right?
Yeah.
Just in the last few weeks, and it's gone from like 7.5, which is scathing for you.
Yeah.
8.7, 7.9, 8.1, 9, 8.6, 9, 9.4. Like, it's all, you know, you've got
9.2 last week, I believe, wasn't it? Like,
it, you know, was, like, yeah, 9.2 last week.
I was actually thinking to myself before I was watching this, I was like, wow, it's been like 3 really strong weeks.
Yeah.
After, like, kind of being
3 nines in a row from
like
you.
Being all over the map before that. Like, and this one brought me back down with a bang, really. I didn't like it. Like, it was.
Ooh.
And I wonder if it's because it's a Lisa episode again that it's like.
See, I don't know, because, like, Lisa, the iconoclast, was
great. 100%. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, like, I don't.
But
I don't
that was
know.
Kind of a Lisa and a Homer.
Yeah.
Were two kind of pivots in that
they
episode.
They were teamed up.
Yeah,
you had Homer
and it worked
to back her up
really well. Like,
this Lisa, is, you know what it is? It's because it's Lisa at her most diligent and Bart at his most arsehole.
They're both obnoxious. That's the thing.
Yeah,
and like,
and there's
the
not
other one,
quite enough of Homer and Marge.
The other Lisa episode, the Homer and Marge is what kept it afloat for me. Really,
there wasn't enough of it for me.
The other Lisa episode that I didn't like this year was Lisa and Nelson, whatever that one.
The date with Density.
Yeah.
That was the one you had a scathing,
and like
7. What was it? 7.5.
I don't know. Like there's a couple of Lisa episodes I really like. Like the Lisa, the Malibu Stacy one. Thinking back on it, I'm like, Jesus, my kingdom for a Kathleen Turner in here to liven things up.
Right?
Like that
seems
now.
Like so long ago.
I'm
like,
far too drunk.
Yeah,
Joe, unhand me.
It seems like so long ago that even that kind of Simpsons episode is what we were watching.
Yeah,
you know?
It does, actually. And what was that, like 6, 7?
5, I think.
5, jeez.
It's the Malibu Stacy, I think it was 5, yeah. A rating, an MVP, please, Terry.
Rating is 8.
Scathing. MVP?
Flanders.
Oh,
I was nice. I just broke into a great big smile whenever he was on screen.
Yeah, he was
just
used perfectly.
He was used perfectly because, again, it's almost like a weirder side of him that you'd never seen before. That it's like, what's going on day to day in the Flanders household? Like,
he's always
just dry as a bone. Yeah. Like,
he's like, Lisa, you gotta help me. Like, everything is
exactly
like such an emergency.
Well, are you free tonight?
Yeah.
Well, and like what? Like the whole mod in the Holy Land, you know.
He's not thinking, like, what the hell? He's thinking, I must have done something wrong. I must have prayed to the wrong God.
I must have kneeled in the wrong place and prayed to the wrong God.
I'm gonna give it to Homer.
Yeah, he's been, he's good.
He was
in this episode.
My favorite part of this episode. I'm going to give it a rating of 7.8. Fairly scathing as well, I think you'll agree. My most scathing of the season was
choppy.
A 6.2.
That was Sherry Bobbins, is it?
Yes.
There's a chore that must be done,
you will find it way more fun.
Wasted away again in Margaritaville.
Yeah, I didn't care for this one as much, to be honest. It was okay. There were some things that I laughed at, but I didn't think I had enough of anything, to be honest. Yeah.
Two halves don't equal a whole.
Yeah, that's what we will call this episode. It's a melon...
Collie episode? No, it's not quite.
Oh, it's a shame there's no fruit called collie. No, can't think of one. Listen, Terry, I'm going to plow right into the plug section of the show, if that's all right with you. Mm-hmm. Let me just have a sip of my drink.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
That was already made 2 weeks ago.
Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Yes, you can find us on social media, Twitter and Instagram particularly, not on Facebook, although I think we technically, as a byproduct of Instagram, still post to Facebook. But yes, Instagram and Twitter.
I used to get the old Facebook thing saying, oh, catch you today as an activity.
Did I tell you, I found a bunch of old, like that Tumblr page that we had.
Ah, remember? It's still on SoundCloud.
Some are on, it was on SoundCloud, but we'd set up a free account every 2 weeks because you only got 2 hours of free
Far we've come.
I know, and like the ridiculous email addresses that I'd make up specifically just to get the episode out. I must actually post, I don't know if I should, but...
we could listen to
There's about
to
like 20 episodes from about 10 years ago.
It's Patreon content right there.
The one in Amsterdam in the converted hospital and all that, that's all there. Yeah,
that was a good one. That was interesting.
I remember that being good. So maybe I'll listen back and dig some out.
We have all been here before.
I think it's just like catch we dash of the. Before. It's all dashes. Catch, I know. Catch of the day with dashes in between. .tumblr.com, something like that. But anyway, more importantly, you can find our good stuff on Twitter and Instagram at Put It In H Podcast. On Instagram, we have links to everything we do, from merch to video podcasts to our other podcast, What's So Great About Marvel, our latest episodes, and our Patreon.
Oh, the Patreon!
The Patreon.
Well, for the low, low fee of $5 dues, €4.50, and of course, we don't know what it is in sterling.
We don't want to know.
You get access to 4 bonus episodes per month. You got Andy mentioned our sister podcast, What's So Great About. You get two episodes of them a month. So at the moment, we're doing What's So Great About Ryan Gosling, 5 episodes in. We're getting there.
Iffy.
It's
on an upward trajectory, but I know we're going to go slamming hard down
next week is La La Land. I think that tickets are going to be worth the price of admission alone for that episode. But we've done What's So Great About 90s Action, and we've done What's So Great About Marvel. So you get 2 of them per month, and you get 2 bonus episodes on a wide range of topics. You get our dream cast episodes where we cast our favorite movies or whatever. We get like Pitch It and H, where we pitch movie ideas to each other.
Pitch It and H are my favorite of those, but
they're fun.
We basically put ourselves in a lot of fictitious scenarios and see what we would do, and we also have a bunch on converting each other to our musical and movie tastes. I made Terry listen to a bunch of emo. Essentially, if you haven't subscribed, you get about 50 episodes right off the bat.
Yeah.
And there's no Simpsons content on there.
Yeah, absolutely none. This week we're doing our top 5 favorite performances in movies, which I tell you, I struggled.
Now, I struggled too, but...
I struggled to fill out 3 of the 5 spaces there. I had 2 locked in. I struggled
to fill 5 of the 5.
I had 2 locked in. I think I can predict...
I'm very interested to see if you... Because I couldn't... I locked
mine in last night, but then... Even going back, I made 1 change today. Going back,
wow. So you like, I have no alternate. Well, I've some.
I have. Mentions. I'll tell you now how many honorable mentions I have. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Okay, you and get I could 4 honorable. You get 3 honorable mentions on the show. All right.
Look, it's 8 only going to be. It's only going to be 20 seconds more if I read out the other 5. Okay.
Okay. Fine.
Yeah. Okay. It's for everybody's benefit. Well, look, if you can't afford the Patreon, hold your horses.
Sorry, I don't know where I was going with that.
If you can't afford the Patreon, and I know it's tough out there, the pandemic, fair enough, you know, whatever.
Is it?
Say no more. Who's to say? What you can do, if you're liking this free content we're giving you on a weekly basis, you can get onto the old Apple podcast or any rating device, and you know what, in this episode there was a 25-foot sub.
Okay,
divide that by 5 and turn the feet into star ratings, and you can give me a 5-star rating. We bad,
it's the best.
We bad.
That's right, we bad.
We bad.
That was the best one yet.
There you go. Excellent. Again, just came up with it there while you were flapping your mouth about fucking Facebook and Instagram.
See how I just pushed you that little bit a few weeks ago, and now look at
how fucking flying. Dare you.
Yo elk.
Yeah.
Go on.
Doesn't see what you mean. or, you know, you can tell a friend or tag a friend on, you know, social media. Just, you know, it helps us get we're doing the work. But you can, if you've come this far, maybe you're willing to go a little further.
Terry, please.
Name that movie.
Hang on. Can't you say I don't want to be crusty anymore? No, I don't know. What is it?
I'll give you a hint. It's number one on IMDb's top 250.
What?
They have like a top 200, you know, top rated movies. Number one on that.
Come here. No, I don't know. I don't know. I know it, but I don't know. What is it?
Stephen King's The Shawshank Redemption.
Ah, of course. Stephen King's.
Oh, yeah. He wrote it.
That's a Stephen King movie.
It's a Stephen King novella. Oh, and then Frank Darabont made the movie.
Oh,
who Frank Darabont also made The Green Mile.
Similar.
Yeah, I mean, it's another Stephen King novella.
Huh. Interesting, didn't know that at all.
Anyway, if you made it this far, thanks very much for listening. Mm-hmm. Like I say, you're doing the Lord's work.
Mm-hmm.
And I like you.
Hey, I love you, all right? I may not know you, but I love you.
If you subscribe to the Patreon, you might get that big L from me over there.
And it's everything you dreamed it would be.
Oh, mercy.